Hello folks, welcome back to episode 2. This one is about jurisdiction and sovereignty, so we're going into the law a bit more now. I always enjoy going into the law. I find it fascinating. Many people find it boring. That's only because the version that they teach at school is boring. It's designed to be boring. It's designed to be mind-numbing, okay? This version that I'm teaching you is fun. It's practical. You can go out there and you can use this contracting technology yourself. Okay, so the first question is, why does government and local authorities have authority, right? In the UK, they call them local authorities. Why do they have authority? Okay, well, let's look up the definition of authority. And I don't even have to look it up, so I remember it off by heart. It's the greatest definition ever. The definition of authority in Bouvier's Law Dictionary from the 1850s, a US law dictionary, also used in Britain, is the power delegated to another. Authority is the power delegated to another. Go and look it up. There's an iPhone app for it, for Bouvier's as well. So I don't care about your modern Black's Law 8th edition dictionaries, okay? The definitions back then were the common law of the time, and I'm still going to stick by them. They're going to be my maxims, those definitions. Anything could be your maxim, okay? It doesn't have to be fully established. All you do is, when you write your contract, you can put your maxims in, okay? They're your words that you go by. They're the self-evident truths that you have in your mind. So one of my maxims is authority is the power delegated to another. So if a policeman says, well, you know, by what authority, officer? You know, are you trying to tell me that I've delegated some kind of power to you? As you can see, I believe I'm quite good with this verbal contracting, but that's another part of the audio, so we won't go into that right now. So yeah, Parliament has been delegated authority. Now, it hasn't only been delegated authority to sort of enforce rules, it's also been delegated authority to manage your shares in the United Kingdom, which ever since the 1930s you've had, due to there being no gold in the money system. And we'll go into that in the next couple of episodes. Personally, my favourite part of this whole discovery. We'll be talking about birth certificates, all that sort of stuff. It really is brilliant. I know, there's a lot in store. Government gets their authority from the people. It's the power delegated to them. Now, that's why they want you to vote in an election, folks, okay? They come along and say, you've chosen a government, well done you, this is the people's government. No, it's the representatives who have been charged with the duty of making rules and investing the people's shares in the country in whatever way they want. Okay? So rather than getting the benefits of your own shares in the UK, you've delegated the power to manage them to Parliament. That's what you've done by voting. So congratulations, you've lost your right to your shares. Of course, you can claim it back, but don't vote, folks, okay? You're not going to make a difference. You can't make a difference just by dropping a bit of paper in a little box, yeah? You get it? Good. I mean, it's the sort of thing like someone at primary school should probably get, really. I mean, you think dropping a bit of paper in a box is going to make any difference to your life at all? No, it's not. And I see all the posters at my local school, you know, why you should vote and all that sort of thing. All they want is for you to delegate authority and power for them to manage your shares on your behalf. That's all they want. That's why they want you to vote. Okay? Now, folks, this is the only way that the systems can work. Even in places like China, the people still have all the authority, okay? Because, why is that? But there are more people than government, yeah? Do you get it? The government is a corporation, the people outnumber them hugely. Hugely, okay? Especially in China, they've got a massive population. So it's not like they have any particular power over the people, it's that the people have enslaved themselves, obviously. It's the same story everywhere. Yeah? So if you don't like your country, start changing your mindset, right? I bet you don't want to like your country and you want to live as a patriot. But all I'm saying, folks, is that the people always have the ultimate power in any country, in any form of government, even in communist systems. Yeah? And the reason is simple. There are more people than government. That's it. Simple. Okay? So no, government isn't going out and killing people in other countries. The soldiers are doing that. They've enslaved themselves to that particular belief system and way of life. Alright? So don't you You know, don't you dare go blaming people. They just sit at desks and, you know, it's a massive bureaucracy. They just sit at desks and push papers all day. All right? That's not to devalue what they do. I think they do quite a good job of it, actually. But the main thing is, they wouldn't go out there, the people working in government, let's say people working at the Ministry of Defence, they wouldn't go out there and be able to shoot someone. I doubt they would, okay? Because they work in offices, they work at desks all day, okay? So it's not them that are going out and killing people, but do you understand? They can't understand what it would feel like to wage a war on someone. They just sit at desks and sign papers. Starting a war is as simple as signing a paper for them, okay? So they've never had the experience. I'm sure if they went out and got involved with the war, they wouldn't want there to be a war, okay? But, you know, it's a different topic, really. But it's got nothing to do with them, really. I mean, think about it. It is always the people that enslave themselves. It has to be. Yeah, anyway, the people are sovereign, okay? Because when I say sovereign, I mean that a sovereign is a person who can author their own contracts. Folks, you're authoring your own contracts every day. Like I said, law of attraction, you're creating it all, okay? So, you are authoring your contracts on that level. On the other level, you can make an offer. You have just as much right to author a contract, to make an offer to someone, as anyone in government does. Just as much right. And that's why we write counter-offers and conditional acceptances to them. Because we have just as much right to author our own contracts and lives as they do, okay? That is the unalienable right that everyone has, to author their lives. And there's no way it can be taken away. It can only be contracted away, and then you're contracting. So, yeah, paradox, yeah? Do you get it? Good. So, personally, I don't want to be the Queen. I'd much rather have the current life I've got and be able to author my own life than perhaps have, you know. When it comes down to running a country, it basically comes down to, do you have the armed forces to do it, to actually physically impose your rule on the country? That's what it comes down to, like with the Queen, you know. That's why they use police at riots and things. It comes down to how much power do you actually have. But then everyone has the same power. It's only your ability to sort of brainwash or trick people into working for you. That's all the Queen has done. That's all the government has done. So, yeah, we all have just as much right to contract. That is the most important thing. On a certain level, we are not sovereign, okay? Because when you walk around in your life, you think, oh, I didn't create that. How could I have created that? No, your intention is sovereign, okay? Your thoughts, your beliefs, your intention is sovereign. Your contracts are sovereign, okay? Now, I know that contrasts with the definition I gave. In this sense, I mean, they are independent, basically. Your intention is independent. When you have the intention, the thing manifests, right? And I see this all the time, you know. Don't ask me for proof, folks, you know. If you're proof, just go out and live, yeah? Yes, so if I write a contract, that is sovereign. Do you understand that when you write a contract, that immediately supersedes all statutory and common law, okay? When you write a contract and it is accepted by someone. Now, when we get into acceptance, you'll find that's quite interesting. There are many forms of acceptance, one being silence. Or at least if you say so in your contract. Of course, that doesn't have to be a rule for everyone, but if you make it so in yours, then... Anyway, that's a different section. But acceptance of the parties is really, you know, it immediately supersedes statutory law. Of course, if you make the contract under the statutes of a society, so if you're writing a contract under the laws of the UK, then it doesn't supersede statutory law. But if you do it without the UK, completely private, then yes, that immediately supersedes all statutory law. Why? Because they can only make statutes for the society in which they work, which is the UK. You know, we talk about our society all the time. Society is actually a group of people. It's not actually a country. So, you know, you don't have to be part of the UK society. So, you know, if you want to leave, by all means. But you're not really part of it anyway, because it doesn't recognise real men and women. It only recognises what we call deceased estates. Okay, thank you for listening to this part. In the next part, we're going to be really getting into some stuff on the legal fiction, bills of lading, warehouse receipts, and all that sort of stuff. So thanks for listening so far.